Welcome back, Raw Thoughts listeners, to another episode with me, Mackenzie Tiggs. I am so privileged to have you listening, and also my guest today, Faith Dockett. Hello.
Hello. I'm so happy to be here. Thank you for having me.
Yes, absolutely. I'm happy for you to be here and to really dive deep and hear your story. You're one of the listeners, but now you get to share your story.
Yeah, I'm so excited. So I am Faith. I am a trauma-informed somatic breathwork guide. I'm a mom, I'm a wife, I'm an artist, and yeah, I feel like I wear a lot of hats, but
you're a multi-passionate person.
Yes, absolutely. Yes, absolutely. So I'm really excited to share my story. Before I get into breathwork too, I wanted just to kind of lead you in of how I got into breathwork and how I got here today. So
yes, let's dive right in.
So like many people, I had a lot of experiences in childhood that left me kind of trying to figure out myself in a lot of different ways. And it goes back to when I was 8. I had heart surgery when I was 8 years old. I had osteomyelitis, which is a bone infection in my foot, actually. And in the middle of surgery, the PICC line that they had put into my neck to give me medication actually broke off and went inside my heart.
Oh my gosh.
Was crazy. Here I go in, you know, for this foot surgery, and I come out with really not knowing what was going to happen. It's kind of crazy to think about it now, but when I woke up at 8 years old, I kind of knew that something was really wrong. And I was flighted to a different hospital in the area. And I was really close to dying. And it was one of those things at 8 years old that you think like, oh my gosh, like kids don't die, right? Mm-hmm. At 8 years old, that wasn't really something that was going through my mind until I woke up on that hospital bed. And I thought, oh my goodness, like it can't be my time to go. The beautiful part about that experience was that when I got out of the hospital, I felt like I saw life in a whole different way. The colors seemed brighter. Nature has always been something that was so important to me. But I would like look at a flower and I would look how the colors would bleed into each other and how sounds just seemed to be amplified. And it was this beautiful, like my own healing through nature that really, I feel like got me through that and let me let go of a lot of the fear that I had. And so moving forward, I just looked at life in a very different way. I'm adopted. And so my birth mother, I always knew was very young, but there was a part of me that was like, I can't die. I'm adopted. Like, wow. It was like this like beautiful thing of like, you know, I am here because, you know, my birth mother gave me a chance at life that she knew she couldn't provide. Even at a young age, I always kind of knew like, you know, kids would be kind of mean on the playground and it's like, you know, people would be like, you know, whatever, say the mean things. And I'd be like, yeah, well, at least my parents chose me. You got, you know, you have the parents you got. I'm thinking like it was like this cool thing to be like adopted. And so from that experience that I had at 8 years old, it was like, well, it can't be my time to go. Like I have so much more to offer. Like I'm just a child, you know? And then a few years later, I actually had an experience where I was a man exposed himself to me. And the caregiver that I had at the time was like, well, why were you there? You know, why did you make that choice? Da, 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 da. And it was like, oh my goodness, like here I felt so safe, you know, and now it's like, you know, this thing happened to me, but my caregiver is not helping me. And so it really at that point, it was like, okay, I was trying to figure out like, you know, here is where I'm safe in nature. I can really be who I am. But with people, maybe that feels a little scarier. Maybe I'm not safe, you know, in certain situations. And so it really made me feel unsafe in my own skin for a really long time. I was raised in a household where addiction was present. Severe depression was present. I was very much the caregiver in that situation. From the standpoint of I didn't really necessarily know what I was going to come home from school with. excuse me. There was a lot of times that were unknown in my upbringing. And I really took it upon myself to make sure everybody else was okay. And for a long time, I disassociated from my body because that's how I kept myself safe. And, you know, on the outside, everything looked great, you know, to everybody else. You know, it looked like the picture perfect atmosphere, and it was anything but. And so you know, I bring these up because I feel like a there are people out there that also feel like, you know, these experiences, yeah, they happen and they can just go away and it's not a big deal, you know, or you shove them down. And I did that for a really long time. When I was 15 years old, I found my father. He had passed away. Mm. And, you know, up until that point, you know, really feeling like I was responsible for his happiness. I was responsible for making sure everything was good. I felt like I had failed. You know, I remember so clearly the 911 call, you know, feeling like there has to be something that I can do. And there was a point, I still very clearly remember, you know, looking at him and as they're working on him, just thinking like, this can't happen. Like the story can't end here. And it was almost like it was like, you know, things happen so fast and also in slow motion, especially trauma, right? Mm-hmm. And I just remember thinking like, people's parents don't die when you're 15 years old. Like you don't witness these things happening. But I also felt like my purpose is done. Like there's no one to, you know, to fix. There's nobody to hold. There's nobody outside of myself to make me feel valued. And so it became a really, really, really dark place for a long time. I had a really hard time getting out of bed for a long time. You know, daily tasks were just really, really hard. And I remember so clearly a day where I'm like, this is it. Like, I can't do this anymore. And I knew exactly how I would do it. I knew exactly when I was going to do it. I knew in my heart, I really felt like no one would come to my funeral. No one's going to even notice that I'm gone. Let's be honest. Sorry, I get emotional about it. The one thing that that I did think about that really helped me in that moment was my birth mother. And I just thought, if I do this, I never wanted her to feel like it was all for nothing, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, okay, Faith, you have two options. You can do this and you can end it now. And maybe this, you know, you'll end it and it'll be done. Or you can make small steps. And so I made a pledge with myself. Okay. Tomorrow we're going to get out of bed at this time. We're going to take a shower. That's all we're going to do. Mm-hmm. Because at this point I couldn't even get out of bed. I mean, showering was like, oh, there's no way. I mean, it was just purely exhausted. And I had been going to, you know, talk therapy and I had been doing the things, right? But I just felt so hopeless. And so I started small. I would wake up and I would take a shower. I would, you know, the next day I would wake up and I'd take a shower and I'd go sit outside in nature. I would do things that just to create the space to keep myself moving. But what I really wasn't doing was really connecting to myself in a way of how does Faith really feel? Not just is the sky blue today or, you know, what's on your agenda? Like, well, how do I really feel? And so for many years, I went through the motions of, you know, well, if I keep myself busy, if I do the things, if I, you know, work the jobs, if I accomplish the accomplishments that I, you know, want, if I do these things, then, you know, then I can deem myself worthy, right? Like if I do all these things on the outside, then I will be better. And so, you know, that fell into every facet of my life. My relationships, friendships, you know, romantic relationships, jobs. On the outside, it was great. You know, I was accomplishing all these things. I was going to, I got myself into school. I got, you know, I did all of these things that on the outside, it seemed great. And, you know, I knew that I wanted to better myself. I wanted to grow. I wanted to have these things and to feel better. And so I started reading books and I started listening to affirmations and I started to do these things. And again, like it was like this momentum of like, you know, when I do this, like I feel better. And then I go back. And then when this happens, then I feel better for a moment. And then I go back. It was like there was something that was missing. And I couldn't tell you what it was because I really was so disconnected for so long. I didn't even know what it felt like to be in my body. And so in my mid-20s, I met my husband, an incredible man who really just met me where I was. And it was so beautiful because it was the first time that I didn't feel like I was like in this chaotic, like survival mode. You know, I could really just be me. And he loved me, my flaws. He loved me in my darkest of days. He loved me. He just loved me. And it was like, oh my gosh, like, but are you sure you really love me? Mm-hmm. Because, you know, right? Like, it's like, I don't really know, like, what that really feels like without an attachment. Like, I didn't have to do anything. I didn't have to pretend to be something. I could just be me. And so that's really truly when I feel like my healing was able to really start in a way. And, you know, I started going to yoga and I started doing these things. And yoga is so beautiful. I'm sure, you know, as you know, like yoga is so beautiful because it really does allow you to get into your body, into your breath in such a beautiful way. But I felt like there was like this guard, right? Of like, you know, I can go this far, but then that's really, I don't want to touch anything else. I would cry in yoga, but I wouldn't really like think about like, why are you crying? Right? Like I really didn't allow myself to go there. Mm-hmm. And so when I started to feel the unworthiness come up, the not enoughness come up, I would make myself busier. Mm-hmm. If I could just do this, I was a salon owner for years and it's like, okay, if I could just work this much harder, or if I could just accomplish this thing, then it would make sure, you know, that I could feel like I'm worthy. I could feel like I'm enough. And so it was always outside of myself, like always. And when I would go into the yoga studio, I also would, you know, that was like the time of like, okay, here's a little taste of, you know, being able to be centered with yourself and really listening to yourself. But it was just momentarily, you know, it was just in that class. And so I really was like really trying to figure out, okay, there has to be more. There has to be like, I can't keep up with this. I can't read books for the rest of my life. And, you know, I was looking for the next affirmation that was going to be like, oh, okay, like I'm good, you know? And I just felt there had to be something else. And so my husband and I had our first daughter and it was the most incredible experience ever. I have two girls who are incredible humans. But there was this moment in holding her that I was like, I need to not only do better for her, but also for myself, because I wanted to be the best mom that I possibly could be. And I knew that there was things outside of myself that I needed to look at and really dive into, like, what feels real to me. It doesn't, you know, I think sometimes we look at it of like what success is outside of ourself, right? Like, well, you look at that person, it's like, man, they've got it all figured out. Like, that's what success looks like. And then you try to achieve that, right? And then you get to that goal. For me, for a while, it was weight loss. I'm like, okay, well, if I could just like have that body, like if I could just look like her, or if I could just run as fast as that person, or if my biceps popped as much as that girl, like then maybe, you know, X, Y, Z. And it's like, there was always this like unattainable goal that wasn't even realistic, but it was like I was so chaotic in my mind. My sympathetic nervous system was so like I thrived on chaos, you know, for a really long time. And it wasn't that it was good for me. It's just I didn't know any different. You know, I didn't know any different.
Right.
And so I got into breath work. I found breath work, or I like to say breath work found me at the most beautiful time. I had been looking for my birth mother for a really long time. Since I was 18 years old, I actually kind of lived in the facade of like, I'm going to turn 18 because it was a closed adoption. I'm going to turn 18 and I'm going to reopen the case and it's going to be like rainbows and sunshine and unicorns are going to be running all over the place and we're going to meet each other and it's going to be incredible. And that wasn't my story. And, you know, so it was like this, like years of like, well, I'm going to fill out this, or I'm going to get on this registry and, you know, I'm going to find her this way. And there was a point where I finally was like, I think my daughter was like, I don't know, 4 or 5. And I just thought, you know what? If I'm supposed to meet her, I will meet her. If I'm supposed to find her, I will find her. But there was always this, like, even as a kid, like, I'd be walking down the street and I would see, like, somebody, I had blonde hair, not pink forever. Right. But I had blonde hair and I would see, like, somebody with blonde hair and, like, similar eyes to me. And I'd be like, oh, maybe that's her, you know, because I was raised by my dad. And I always longed, like, I would, you know, look at, like, a mom and a daughter and I'd just be like, oh, my gosh, like, she has her eyes. Or, like, look at her nose. Like, her nose looks like her mom. Like, I was always hyper-focused on relationships that people had. I always thought it was really cool, but I'm like, I want to know, like, do I look like my birth mom? Like, does she ever think about me? Like, there were so many things that I wondered, but the biggest part was that I just wanted to tell her thank you. Like, thank you for giving me the opportunity at a life that you knew you couldn't provide at the time. Like I said, I knew that she was very young when she had me. She was 13 years old.
Wow.
Yeah. And so, and I've always known that. I always knew that she was very young. I never knew, obviously, like, what had happened or, like, what the circumstance was. But I just was always so incredibly grateful of the choice that she made. Because at that age, like, my oldest daughter is 13 now. And I just, like, look at her and I just think, like, you know, there's no way. Like, right. Obviously, it could have been done if her parents would have helped her. And, you know, things.
All of the things.
Yeah, all of the things that could have happened. But she provided me a life that I wouldn't have been able to live, you know, at the time that she, you know, was a child herself. And right. So I was not the person that was like, I didn't want to hire an investigator. I just knew that it needed to happen organically if it was going to happen. And again, if it was supposed to happen, it would. And so I did find her. And it's such a whirlwind of a story, but she does not want contact. And that's okay. Mm-hmm. But there was an interesting moment, I will say, because if you would have asked me 10 years ago, like, what's your biggest dream? It would be to be able to be face to face to her and just tell her thank you. You know, like, that would be my biggest dream possible. And so when I did find her and it wasn't that, you know, I honestly didn't even think about, like, that was a possibility. I don't know. I just thought, if I'm supposed to find her, like, I'll find her. And if I find her, then I'm supposed to meet her.
Right.
Like, that's just,
then it'll be great from there.
Yeah.
Like, that's where the story will unfold.
Exactly. And, like, you know, what's going to be the first thing that I'm going to say? Or, you know, do I hug her first? Or, like, you know, am I going to cry? Like, what is it going to look like?
Also,
you know?
What does she look like?
Yes.
Like, yeah. All of those things.
All the things. Yeah. I mean, I had for years, I had thought about all those things. Like, what is it going to be like when? Mm-hmm. And, you know, I can only speak for myself, but as, you know, somebody who's adopted, like, you do go through a lot of different, I went through a lot of different emotions throughout the years of, like, you know, again, knowing that she was so young, like, I knew that obviously there was a reason why she, you know, put me up for adoption. Like, I totally get that. But I always would think, like, you know, does she ever think about me? Like, my birthday would happen. And it's like, you know, would she think about me today? You know, mm-hmm. On Mother's Day was another thing. Like, gosh, I hope she's having a wonderful day today. Like, I would just think about different things that, that I just never thought that there was, you know, a chance that we wouldn't, you know, someday meet. And who knows, maybe someday we will meet, you know, but that's not my story now. But there was this moment that when she didn't want contact that I was like, oh, like, I felt really vulnerable because it's like, okay, well, now she knows my name and now she can, like, look me up. And, like, there was, like, this momentarily, like, insecurity of, like, what is she going to think? Like, you know, what is she going to think, like, oh my gosh, like, you know, she's successful. She's this, she's that. Like, there's all these, like, things out, again, outside of myself of, like, you know, what is the perception that she's going to perceive of, like, looking me up or whatever.
Right.
And it was beautiful because it gave me the ability to have the curiosity, you know, to go inward, even in that moment of, like, what is it that, I mean, I'm living my life the way that I feel like I should live my life. I'm not, you know, at that point, I'm not pretending that, like, I'm anything, you know, different than who I am. But there was, like, this not enoughness. And I'm like, what do I do with this? Like, I'm so tired of feeling like I'm not enough or that I'm not worthy because I didn't X, Y, or Z. Like there was just like this like underlying curiosity of what is that, you know, and an invitation really to really look at that, you know, what part of me feels like, why do I feel like I'm not worthy enough? Right. Why do I feel like I'm not enough? Like, where is this actually coming from?
Like, what's the root cause of all of this?
Yeah, absolutely. And so I was going to a yoga studio at the time, and I practiced there all the time. And I happened to see this poster that they had put up, and it was this workshop called Psychedelic Breath. Mm. And I'm like, this is a yoga studio, psychedelic breath. Like I breathe all the time. Like, what the heck is this? You know, like really, like I was curious, but didn't really understand it. And so the next day I came into class again and I looked at the poster again and I'm like, you know, and I had just found my birth mother at this time, within like a week, which is crazy. And I'm like, you know what? I'm going to go. I'm going to check this out, because there was something that was like, you just need to get in the room, like just get in the room, you know, just do the thing. And so I walked in that room that day with very much just, again, letting curiosity just carry me into that room. And it was a 3-hour session. I do not recommend somebody's first breath session.
Whoa. Yeah. I did an hour and I was like,
Yeah. For anybody who has not experienced breath work yet, that is a very long time to be breathing in that way. But the version of myself that walked in that room that day was not the version that walked out of that room that day. It was truly the very first time that I felt like I could really feel my body in a way that was filled with just pure presence and love that I had never experienced for myself before. It was just beautiful. I mean, I could tell you before that, I could tell you when my foot hurt or like my back ached or what, but it was just this ability to land on my mat in the most authentic way, led with curiosity, but also this like continuous, like just focus on that breath, this pure presence. It was just like, it was as if time had collapsed. Mm-hmm. And just to have that ability to be with myself, because prior to that, you know, a feeling would come up and I'd be like, okay, well, I'm gonna go vacuum. A feeling would come up, okay, I'm going to go, you know, do this, or I'm going to go, you know, clean the kitchen, or I'm going to go, you know, make sure whatever. Like I didn't give myself the space to really actually feel what was present in my body, because I didn't really know what that felt like. I didn't know that you could take a pause and actually feel that feeling. I just felt like, heck, if I feel this feeling, I'm going to stay in this feeling forever. And I don't want to do that.
Right.
You know, that doesn't feel safe. That doesn't feel productive. That doesn't feel like I'm doing something. It just felt like an inconvenience or just something that I just didn't necessarily want to go there, you know? And so that day in that studio really gave me the space of like, it's okay to be here. It's okay to be here. And this is exactly where you should be now. And so I knew the moment I walked out of that studio, I'm like, first of all, what on earth just happened? There was that. And how do I implement this in my life for the rest of my life? Because it was that profound. It was this ability also to just feel that my presence was enough. My presence was the ability to give myself the space to know that I'm enough, to know that I'm worthy, not because of anything outside of me, but because I'm right here. You know, I'm here. And I was put in this body and I was put on this earth to have this human experience, to be able to have these different emotions, every emotion. I say no emotion is bad or good, right? Like we are here to have this human experience, to experience every single emotion. And it was just this amazing, it was an amazing, amazing, amazing experience that I had. And it was that moment that I was like, okay, like here we are. You know, here's where I can feel the space to really give myself the ability to heal in ways that I never thought was actually possible. I truly didn't have any idea what it felt like to be in my body up until this point. I feel like I had disassociated for so long because that is truly what kept me safe. And so from that moment, from that experience, it's been like this unfolding journey of, you know, how can I in my everyday, not just laying on my mat, not just, you know, having these breath patterns, not just in these small moments, but how can I stay present in everything I do? How can I do that? And so I really believe that if myself and anybody else who holds space, if you're going to be a space holder, you really need to take yourself through that journey, and you're, you know, it starts with you. Mm-hmm. And so, I knew from, again, from that very first session, I was like, this is what I want to do for people. This is the space that I want to hold for people. Because if I can experience this, if I can go there, my goodness, you know, like how can I hold space for other people to experience the same thing? At the time I was a salon owner, and, you know, I'd have people in my chair every single day, you know, telling really beautiful stories and really hard stories as well. And I just thought, I want to be able to hold space for people, not only just in my chair as I'm doing their hair and having these really deep conversations. I mean, I had held hands of people that were, you know, I had gone through things of people having babies and, you know, having a death of a family and going through cancer treatment and having all of these different experiences, like holding people in that way in a salon setting. I'm like, how can I hold people through the power of their breath? Like, just to show them, like to hold them so they can really unravel and connect into their body in such a beautiful way. And so I went through a huge shift in my own journey of like really taking myself through that of like, you know, all of the layers, like giving myself like, okay, here I am. Like, where do I go from here? Like, where do I even begin? And it gets to be gentle, and it gets to be, get to be held, and you get to be seen in ways that are so beautiful, far beyond that I ever imagined actually was possible. And so it's been really incredible. And when I felt like, you know, I don't feel like, you know, we're going to get to the end of the rainbow and we'll be like, we're healed. Like, you know, like that's not how life works. No. But I do believe that there are these beautiful experiences that we can have that can guide us deeper into our own truth, into our own authenticity, and really allow ourselves to be present again in our own truth. We're all brought to this earth for a reason. We have a purpose, that we have these desires, we have these dreams, and they're meant for us. Like, they wouldn't come into our life if they weren't. And so really allowing myself to be led again by curiosity of, okay, what's the next step? Okay, what's the next step? Okay, now where do we go from here? And allowing that curiosity to just guide me. And so that's what I've done. It's been 6 years now since I've taken my first breath journey. And yeah, it's been a wild ride, but definitely worth it.
Wow. Okay. Through all of this, I have a handful of questions, which this usually doesn't ever happen, like multiple. So you had talked about being adopted.
Yeah.
But you were raised by your father. Mm-hmm. What was that dynamic? Was that your birth father, or was that
my adoptive father?
Your adopted father.
Yeah. Yeah. So I was raised in Nevada. I was raised by my dad until when he passed away when I was almost 16 years old. I lived in Nevada, and then my mom lived in California. My parents did not get along. I don't remember one conversation that they were not heated, which as a child, you know, I don't judge anybody, their dynamic of, you know, how they choose to raise their children. But I will say that as a child, it's really hard when outwardly, you know, the only time that your parents talk, it's fighting, it's, you know, your dad is this, or your mom is that, or, you know, it's really hard as a child. And there was many times even as a kid that I was like, gosh, like if I wasn't here, like they wouldn't have to do this, like they wouldn't have to argue. And so there was a dynamic that that felt really hard. You know, my mom was not that she was out of my life. She just, I would go, you know, to visit her like at Christmas break and that kind of stuff. And that was a whole different dynamic, because when my father passed away, it was, you know, I go to live at my mom's house, and my mom's house was normally the house that I go to, you know, on breaks. And so it was like, here, a teenager, you know, now living in somebody in my mom's home that, you know, didn't, it just wasn't home, you know? Right. And so, when my dad passed, I went to school for a short period of time in my hometown of where I was living before. And, you know, my friends didn't know what to say, you know? And so often they didn't say anything, you know, and kind of avoided me, because I get it, you know, it's hard. Death is hard. And especially, mm-hmm. you know, people's parents don't die usually at that age. And so I think it was really hard for people to understand how to best support me. For me, it was like, okay, in order to stay safe, just put the mask on and it's fine. You know, you're feeling sad, it's fine. You know, you could just not feel sad. Just put the smile on your face. It'll be fine. You know, everything's okay. And so I think it furthered my, you know, it's not safe to feel how to show how you're actually feeling, because it would inconvenience or make somebody else feel uncomfortable. Mm. And the last thing I wanted to do, you know, was make somebody feel uncomfortable. Yeah. You know, that felt really scary. My responsibility was to make sure everybody else felt safe. My responsibility was to make sure that everything on the outside seemed okay. And so, you know, it perpetuated, for a while.
Yeah. And then, out of curiosity, because you talked about that within your family, was your dad's death due to drugs?
It was not.
It was not.
No. You know, it's one of those things that, how do I put this? I will say I don't know. On the death certificate, what I have heard is that it says heart failure. Without getting too much into it, there are other things on there that I'm like, interesting. But I don't know. The interesting thing to me is that my dad and I actually were together that day before he passed away. And he was acting very bizarre, very bizarre. Very spacey in his words. Like, I could tell something was going on. But I didn't know what. And the last thing my dad ever said to me was, "I'm sorry." Mm. And he and I had gone to the gym that evening. I had gotten off work and we had gone to the gym, and he just was very disoriented, very, it was almost like he was drunk, but he wasn't drunk. Something was on board. I don't know what. That's one of the things that I'm like, I've often thought about looking at the death certificate myself. But I also feel like there's not really a point. I feel like there's closure in that I don't necessarily need to go there to feel that closure. But I do remember when we left the gym, he was so disoriented. I just told him, "I want to go home." Like, he was just acting very weird. And I did not have my driver's license at the time, but I took the keys from him, and he was definitely not in any position to drive. You know, even wobbly getting to the car, I remember putting his arm around me and just like not holding him, but kind of having to hold him. And the last thing I remember that evening was him putting his hands on his face and his elbows to his knees and just saying, "I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry." And then I went to bed and I woke up to the most cold feeling I've ever felt in my life. I knew something was wrong. And going to his room and finding him was horrible.
Wow.
It's one of those things that, you know, it almost feels like, it almost felt like it was like a movie. Because again, you don't think about a parent passing away. I didn't, at least. I never thought about that. You just think of like your parents getting really old and like not imagining them, right, what they would look like when they're old, you know, like this just wasn't something that I thought about. But for a long time it was like, okay, well, what is he sorry about? You know, like that was part of like the, I have to let it go, you know? That part always gets me because, when I think about it, I can go right back there. But for a long time, it was those questions looped in my mind, you know, and ate at me for a long time, you know, because, again, I felt so responsible for so long that it was like, okay, well, how do you move on from that? You know, like, how do you, you know, and then it's like the moment you feel like a little bit of joy, it's like then the guilt creeps in of like, how could you be happy if, you know, you weren't even able to do da 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 da, you know? So, it's something that I, you know, I'm sure I could look at the death certificate, but I know that there was something involved. But I don't feel like it's part of something that I have to really look at, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And you said something very beautiful that I think you have done, and I don't think you quite realize, but you talked about the loop, right? Those thoughts just kept on looping and looping and looping and looping. And that somatic breath work is stopping that cycle, is letting that go and letting those questions not eat at you.
Exactly.
And not fester inside you and not have, you know, closure does not mean that you have all the answers.
100%. Absolutely.
It's that you're able to still continue to move forward. Mm-hmm. You can go back to that place and be okay with that. You know, and I think a lot of people want to just forget about what has happened. And that's just not reality. Mm-hmm. Like, it is a part of you. It is a part of your now DNA, your map in your brain that is stuck with you, but is different of how you react to it.
Absolutely. And that was one of the things, like, going back to experiencing breath work for the very first time, it was like, wow, like, there's a choice. I mean, prior to that, I honestly, like, you know, I would look at people and I would think, like, well, that's for them. Like, and I would celebrate people. I will be your biggest cheerleader. Like, I will sit on the sidelines and I will cheer you on. But it almost felt like, for me, for so long, it was like, you are incredible. And I was handed a different deck, right? Like, that's not for me. You get to have that. But because of things that happened to me, I don't get to have those things. Mm. And it was this chaotic loop. You know, my nervous system, because it was in chaos for so long, anytime it wasn't in chaos, it was like, well, when is the next shoe going to drop? Right? Mm-hmm. Like, it looped over and over and over again. I can't have this because of XYZ. I can't have that success because of da-da-da. I can't have this because of all these different things. I had such a limited belief. Mm-hmm. And really, through the healing that I had really allowed myself to be guided through, is like, I am who I am today because of those things that happened in my life. Yeah. I am who I am. I have more resilience than I possibly could ever have imagined because I was, you know, I was put into this situation, and I have a choice, and I have, you know, I have authority of, you know, when that loop comes in, because nobody, there's not a single person on this planet that isn't a human.
Right.
And we're going to have these experiences. We're going to have triggers. We're going to have things that are going to come into our thought process of, like, you know, the lack, and it's our choice what we do with it. Mm-hmm. And so breath work really gave me the ability to, okay, I'm feeling sad. Instead of, like, going to the loop in my mind of, like, okay, here's all the reasons that you're sad. Of course you're sad because of da 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 da, all these different things. I can stop and I can take a breath and be like, I'm sad. What does sad feel like in my body? And give myself the ability to just really be with that emotion, really allow myself to be in that space and to hold that part of myself that's sad. You know, I really believe that through the different experiences that we go through, I call them big T's and little T's, big traumas and little traumas. They shape us, and they also hold a part of inside of our body, right? And so when those things come up, when, you know, when we're triggered in some way, we have the ability to hold ourselves in that place and be like, I see you. You know, I see that you're feeling sad. I see that you're feeling left out. I see that you're feeling these different things, and you are also worthy. You know, and giving myself the space to really feel into what that actually feels like, instead of allowing my mind to loop, because our minds will loop forever, right? Mm-hmm. And our minds are really there to keep us safe. And so if it, through, you know, feeling like it's keeping you safe, it can loop that, then it makes your mind feel safer, because it's like, well, of course you feel that, because, you know, here's all the different reasons.
Right. It's your brain is trying to validate yourself.
Yeah.
Your subconscious is trying to validate your consciousness.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it's also, it's like, okay, well, you know, this is why. And so if you know the why, then you don't really have to think about it.
Right.
You just know the why.
You can point the finger at it.
Exactly.
You can blame that one thing.
Yeah, exactly. Or you can blame that thing and that thing and that thing and that thing. And then you can take yourself on this huge spiral instead of actually just feeling into what that emotion actually feels like. Mm-hmm. You know, and really, you know, our emotions come in like a wave. You come to a point, it comes in, you ride the wave, it goes out. If you give yourself the ability to really sit with that emotion, you know, it's not going to last a lifetime. You know, 90 seconds is really like the intense feeling that you're going to feel, and then it's going to go on to the next. Mm-hmm. But the more that we stuff it down, the more that we don't give ourselves the space to really feel it, that's where we can get stuck, you know? And I really truly believe that when we go through these different experiences, when we don't give ourselves the ability to really feel into that, it gets stuck and that energy gets stuck in our body. Mm-hmm. And so it's just like one of my mentors said, you know, it's like a chain. When you have an experience, you put a chain, you know, a loop in that chain, and now that chain is shorter. And the more that you do that, the more that you create, you know, this not dealing with things or not giving yourself the space, you lose parts of yourself. And I think for me, it was like really getting to know myself of who I really am, not because of my experiences, but who am I at my core, including those experiences of what kind of effect they've had on me. I'm not my experience. I am the charge of what that experience has really done in my life and how that has, you know, impacted my life in a way. Yes. And also I am who I am because of those experiences that I've been through.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And without those experiences, you would have had a different experience.
Totally.
And you would have been a different person.
Absolutely.
And like, I think that's the joy of learning and understanding that like these things don't happen to us to not make us who they are. Mm-hmm. Like they are what are making us who we are.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So with the somatic breath work, I want you to really kind of break that down for the listeners, because it is something that I recently got to experience.
Yeah.
And it's something that I am, you know, working on and through as well, because it is a practice. And I think, you know, what you have also said prior to this is like, this is a journey. Mm-hmm. You know, it is not going to be you get at the end of the rainbow and there's the pot of gold and everything's good and everything's fine, because another life experience is going to happen, good, bad, or indifferent. It's that Absolutely. Energy that's flowing. So break it down to us what somatic breath work is.
Yeah. So somatic breath work is a practice where we use, there's all different types of breath work. I will start with saying that I'm sure people have heard of a lot of different types, but somatic breath work is the ability to have a conscious breath pattern, best with a guide. You're taken through a conscious breath pattern with verbal cueing from a guided facilitator who, my hope is that they are always trauma informed, because that is the most important thing. But again, it really gives you the ability to connect to your body in such a beautiful way through that conscious breath. And really what it's doing is kind of the science behind it, and I won't get too much into that, but it's kind of the science behind it is we have, you know, our nervous system, right? We have our autonomic nervous system specifically broken into two branches, our sympathetic nervous system and our parasympathetic nervous system. And so a lot of times what happens is we are running on our sympathetic nervous system, and that looks like, you know, having our days filled to the very brim of, you know, doing this thing and doing that thing and all these different things that are happening in our life. And it is our known as our fight or flight system. And so a lot of times we actually are running on this fight or flight system. And that's our sympathetic nervous system is fantastic. You know, it is our prehistoric part of our brain that, you know, many, many years ago when we were being chased by a lion, or we were having, you know, having this this huge threat, our sympathetic nervous system would come in and be like, okay, we need to get away from this lion and we need to go fast, right? And with that, when those things were happening, also there's a lot of things in our system that were happening that kind of went offline. Our digestive system wouldn't work because we didn't need to digest food because we were being chased by a lion. The production of saliva was not necessary. Adrenaline and that cortisol was, you know, hugely online because, again, we needed to have as much adrenaline as we possibly could to get out of this threat. And then once that threat was done, we would go back to our cave and we would be fine and the threat would go away and our parasympathetic nervous system, the rest and digest system, would come online and we would be fine. But with modern day society, with the expectations of so many things, you know, we are so busy. We have, you know, not only just our day to day, but we have any time, you know, we have a lull, it's picking up our phone and getting on social media. It's, you know, all these different things that keep our mind stimulated. So we don't give ourselves the ability to just breathe, to be able to land, to be able to process different things that we go through throughout our day. And so as you are practicing breath work, that's really what you're doing, is you're giving yourself your body, your brain, the ability to find safety. And so any breathwork session that I hold, safety is absolutely the number one thing that I always, always, always want to provide people. That safe space to land. And the safety that you feel is not because of me. It has nothing to do with me. It is the ability for you to land on your mat in a safe space so you can find that safety. And so as you're, you know, using these conscious breath patterns, you're oxygenating your blood, you're sending, it's a body up process. Mm-hmm. So you're really allowing your body, your breath, to find that safety within itself. And sends a signal to your brain of like, okay, there's not a threat. I guess I can rest. And so your mind then finds rest. And then your body comes in. And the beautiful part about it is, and we talked about this before we started recording, is, you know, sometimes people have this fear of stepping into a modality like breathwork, where maybe there's a lot of trauma that you have experienced. And it's like, I don't want to step into that. I don't want to experience that again. And the beautiful part is our body has so much wisdom that you don't have to experience that again. As you are breathing this breath pattern, your body naturally will come online and you'll find that safety within your own system and your body does the work. It gives you the ability to release those limited beliefs, to release that trauma, to come back into this state of rest and just relaxation, of being able to be purely present. Without the distraction, without the judgment, with just pure love and compassion for what is here and present in your body. And it's the most beautiful space that you can be in, because first of all, no session is ever the same, but you give yourself just this space to just be, you know, with pure presence. And there are so many benefits of breath work that I think sometimes, you know, like an experience where you are able to, you know, have this, you know, these few minutes of like laying on your mat, like you think, okay, well, I'm going to get up and it's, you know, we're going to go back to normal. And the beautiful part is with breath work is you take the time on your mat or, you know, sitting there and finding that stillness and using those continual breath patterns, and it doesn't stop there. Mm-hmm. It really gives your body and your whole human vessel the ability to let go, to shed what no longer serves you. And, you know, there's parts of us that, you know, throughout our journey, there are parts that needed to be protected. There were limited beliefs that really served you well for so long. And to be able to look at those parts of you in a session and to let go of things that are no longer serving you is the most freeing thing that you can possibly do. And you don't have to know why. You don't have to experience the experience all over again. You get to land in the safety of your own breath, in your own body, in your own truth, your own authenticity. Like, it's so amazing. And it's like, we are truly our own superheroes. Like, yeah. If you think about it, we have a superpower that is like incredible. And I think sometimes people think like breathing, like I breathe all the time. It's like, but do you actually breathe? You know,
it's the intentionality behind that breath.
Yes.
Like it is something that, you know, our brain takes care of, mm-hmm. you know, subconsciously of how we're breathing. But sometimes we don't realize the patterns that we are breathing,
yeah.
right? Like when we are in our sympathetic nervous system, our breath is increasing.
Yep.
You know, during these panic attacks, people have this anxiety ridden, our breath is increasing. Yes, we have that control over our breath, but how are we taking control over it?
Absolutely.
Is it just kind of in the back of our mind and it's happening from our autonomic, you know, nervous system? Or are we present in that moment and saying, hey, I'm really nervous right now, or I'm really heightened right now. What can I do to calm myself?
Absolutely. And that's it. It's like, you know, once you have experienced that, then in your everyday, say you're, you know, stuck at a stoplight and you're running late and you're, you know, your shoulders are shrugged, your breath is shallow. You can take that moment of like, okay, I can feel like, you know, your breath, you can feel the tenseness. Like we've all felt that, right? Like you can feel that tense. What do I need right now? Ask yourself the question, like, what can I do right now that would actually benefit me? Because there are things in our life, there's a lot of things in our life that we cannot control, mm-hmm. but we have the ability to respond from a space that is authentic, that is real, that doesn't have to shove it away, doesn't have to stuff it down, but we can really sit with that, you know, and, you know, maybe that's taking a deep breath right now. Maybe that's giving myself the ability, like, I understand you're stressed. And for this moment, for this one moment, I'm going to take a really deep breath. And, you know, the more that we practice conscious breath patterns, the more that we actually consciously breathe, it gives us the ability to not only titrate what is present in our system, but also gives us the ability, you know, to have those hard conversations sometimes with loved ones that feels like a lot, you know, giving ourselves the ability to like, okay, what's my truth and how can I move forward in this conversation that feels sticky? Mm-hmm. How can I support my system? How can I support myself to have this conversation from a space of love and compassion for this person, but also being true to myself and giving yourself the space to really feel into what would that feel like? What would that feel like to have that conversation, you know, from a space of realness and true to myself? You know, what would it feel like to, you know, to call that person and be like, you know what, I can't do that today. What would it feel like to be true to yourself? What would it feel like to put yourself in a position that you matter? You know, and so it's so beautiful because I feel like you, as you continue, you know, that breath, as you continue the ability to really allow yourself to land, you can, that clarity comes in. And, you know, not only from that perspective, but giving yourself the ability to reduce anxiety and stress, to gain the closeness to yourself, to reconnect to what your truth is, to let go of those limited beliefs, to yeah. gain, you know, that intuition, like get closer to your own intuition, you know, because I think sometimes we have this expectation of outside of ourself of like happiness or worthiness or success or, you know, all these different things looks like this. And so when we can like turn that inwards, when we can really allow ourselves to really feel what it would feel like in our system to, you know, to really be true to ourselves, to really listen to what's here, you know, you realize and you can take notice that there are so many things that are more available to you by you just having that, creating that stillness. And it's beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah. And I would, for the listeners, if you're afraid of stillness, if you're afraid of quiet, red flag,
yeah.
you know,
yeah,
it really right. is. Like yeah. a lot of people do not want to go there.
Yeah.
That is where they're like, oh my gosh, what's going to come up? You know, what's yeah. going to happen? And it's like, let's start diving deeper into it. Let's start getting raw with ourselves.
Yeah.
Like that really is that real, authentic and willing to share like what is happening, you know,
yeah.
and it's a scary place.
Absolutely.
But there's also on the other side of it, there's so much freedom
yes.
within there. And as we wrap up, listeners, I want you to go to my Instagram actually. And I just talked about a scenario that I was in and letting that go and what that feels like and being able to have the power over letting an experience go is so freeing.
Yes.
And there's so many different ways to be able to do it. And there's so many different modalities to do it. And I'm excited to do some somatic breath work with you.
Yeah, absolutely. One of the things that I wanted to do, if we can,
yeah.
For just like a minute, if we can give them kind of like a little taste of
Let's
like
give
what
them
it
a
would
dose.
Feel like. Okay. So I'm gonna preface this by saying if you're driving or if you're in any water, please do not do this practice because we want to make sure that you're sedentary. So if it feels safe and comfortable in your body, if you just want to close down your eyes for a second and just take a moment to allow yourself just to naturally breathe here. Maybe noticing the seat below you and the support of your back on your chair, your feet on the ground. We're going to start taking a slow, deep breath through our nose and releasing out our mouth just to allow ourselves to have pure presence here. So in through your nose and out through your mouth, continuing that breath, out your mouth. And as you do so, just taking a brief moment here to just notice what's present in your body. Noticing the feeling of your eyelids as they rest. Noticing your jaw. If it feels tense, just allowing it to settle. Taking notice of the air entering your throat as you breathe in, and noticing it exit as you breathe out. Taking notice of your shoulders, allowing them to find ease. That's it, continuing that breath in through your nose and out through your mouth. Taking a moment and stopping at your heart, feeling your heartbeat. Allowing yourself to come to ease in that breath, bringing it in and letting it go. Feeling what it feels like in your hips, down your legs. Even taking notice of the way that your feet have landed on the floor. Simply allowing yourself to just be present in this one breath. Allowing that one breath to be enough to connect to your system and simply taking notice of what's present as you breathe. An invitation on your next inhale, bringing your breath all the way from the bottoms of your toes all the way up to the top of your head. As you notice any sensation here. Beautiful. As you breathe that breath in, noticing your chest rise as you breathe in and noticing the quality as you breathe out as your chest lowers. Noticing anything that is present in your system. The reminder that is enough and it is exactly what it needs to be here. Taking a deep breath all the way in through your nose. And allowing that breath out your mouth. And we'll conclude with three deep breaths in and out together, bringing in that breath and letting it go. Again, inhale and exhale. One last time together, in and letting it go. And when you're ready, opening your eyes, when you feel ready, just simply taking notice what has shifted in that short 1 minute of breathing consciously.
Wow.
And that's 1 minute, girl.
I love breath work is something so incredible.
Absolutely.
And is also something that we ourselves can control.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's something that our body does naturally. You know, it's so powerful. You think about the first thing you do when you're born is you take a deep breath in. And the last thing you do before you leave this earth is you take a deep breath out. And again, our breath really holds so much power, so much wisdom. And the invitation is that, you know, I feel like sometimes we think that the answers are outside of ourselves. And the truth is that we have so much wisdom and so many answers inside of ourselves. We just have to provide ourselves the space and the stillness to be held and to be seen and to be heard by not only others, but also more importantly, ourselves. And so when we can create that space for ourselves, we are giving ourselves such an incredible gift, not only to us, but also to the world. You know, the desires and the dreams that that come into our system are meant for us. They wouldn't be here if they weren't. And so really listening to that of what's your truth? You know, where do you find yourself in all of that? That's the most important thing.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Well, Faith, I thank you so much for coming on and sharing your story and also guiding us through that just little glimpse of a breath work. Yeah. How can people reach you and get connected with you?
Yeah, well, thank you so much for having me. This was such an honor. You can find me on Instagram. At faith.paintedsoul. I also have a website at faithduckett.com. And Instagram is usually where I hang out.
Yay. Well, listeners, I thank you so much for coming on this journey of listening to this podcast and having this experience with you. I will have all of her information in the show notes, and definitely reach out to her. If there was something that came up with you in this episode, I'd love to know. Reach out to me on my website, on Instagram. And then I also want to remind you, go and take a look at the post. It is a wonderful, you know, photo of the river, and really guides you also through like what my experience was and how I did that of letting things go. So I appreciate everybody always coming on and listening and being guided through your own journey of life. And I hope you guys have a wonderful day and love you always. Yay.
Yay.
Thank you again for listening to another episode of Raw Thoughts Podcast. I'd appreciate it if you could follow, like, subscribe, and share with anybody that you think would be interested in this. You'd also head over to my website at rawthoughtspodcast.com and see any other guests that have been on the episodes. You could also go over to Instagram and follow at rawthoughts.podcast. I would really appreciate it, and always send me a message if you're interested in being a guest or any feedback.